Jason, the Bears are playing on a Friday for the fourth time ever, and it'll be a doozy against the defending Super Bowl champ. We'll talk about that more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears have got maybe the sexiest game of their season coming up on Friday, and they haven't lost, or they've lost one game in their last nine. This seems like it'll be fun.
Well, it'll certainly be interesting, and I think one of the biggest questions going into this game, Patrick, is are they catching the Eagles at a good time? A good time for the Bears, I mean. It's hard to say, because if you just pay attention to the headlines, it's been a disaster season for the Eagles. If you look on paper, there are some concerns, but they're still 8-3, and they've got a lot of really good players.
I was going to say, a lot of teams in the NFL would kill to have their problems. And, you know, some of that is, you know, they have star receivers who aren't getting the ball as much as they want to. They have a running back in Saquon Barkley that's averaging about, what, half the yards that he averaged last year. But they still, I think, I mean, if they're not the favorite in the NFC anymore, that's probably the LA Rams. But, you know, they're 1B. And I don't think things are nearly as bad as it seems over there, is it?
I saw them today as the second favorite to win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And let me see. The Rams being the favorite. Mm-hmm. So your top three right now that I'm looking at on ESPN's futures to win the Super Bowl this year are Rams, Eagles, Chiefs in that order.
Wow, that's...
Chiefs is high. Yeah, Chiefs is a little high for a team that's not even in the playoff field as of now. But there's no mistaking that the Eagles are down a little bit from last year. Now, it would be great, as you alluded to be 8-3 and be calling that kind of a drop-off, kind of concerning to be only 8-3, whereas the Bears are ready to build a statue of Ben Johnson right now for being at 8-3. What I look at is while their numbers are down, they have all of these really good players. You can kind of nitpick Jalen Hurts if you want, but Jalen Hurts has had an excellent career since he became the full-time starter there. A.J. Brown has averaged 1,300-something yards for the last three seasons. Saquon Barkley was probably the best player in the league last year. You could argue a bunch of different guys, but you have a good case for him. So and all those guys, by the way, still in their physical prime. So are you betting that they stay where they're at, that those guys continue to slide, or do you bet on the track record of who they've been in the NFL and say, these guys, it's only a matter of time before they start firing again?
Yeah, they're in their physical prime. They're also, as best we can tell, healthy, which is a big deal. In the NFL, you know, Saquon Barkley was the offensive player of the year last year, and he put together, you could argue, probably one of the best five running back seasons of all time. He had 2,005 yards in the regular season. That's the eighth most in the history of football. And then I think once you add his postseason rushing yards, it's the most in the history of the game for a full season. That is remarkable. And the fact that he's at 62-2 right now, I think shows you just how out of whack this offense has been. The Bears, meanwhile, have a linebacking core that might once again be just backups. And you have to wonder that, you know, if the likes of Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell were trouble on Sunday against the Steelers, boy, what is Saquon Barkley going to do to these guys? To me, that's as scary as any challenge that the Bears face. And, you know, I talked to Dennis Allen today, and I asked him about last year, because last year, the Saints they were so bad that DA got fired in what, November of last year, something like that, right?
I think he was the first coach in the league fired.
Week three, they're playing the Eagles. Eagles who are going to go on to win the Super Bowl. End of the third quarter, the Saints are ahead of the Eagles 3-0, if you'd believe that. And the fourth play of the fourth quarter, they turn around and hand the ball to Saquon Barkley. He goes 65 yards for a touchdown. The Eagles wind up winning. Barkley finishes with 17 carries for 147 yards. That's the last time Dennis Allen saw this guy. And that, I think, is going to be a gigantic challenge for his defense again.
I feel like that story you just told is sort of a cautionary tale, or kind of like an example of why you would not count out Saquon Barkley, or for that matter, Hurts or Brown at this point.
Yeah, and Dennis Allen says, you know, every time he touches the ball, he's a threat to go all the way. Well, there you go. I'm not sure that you could say that about a lot of running backs that the Bears have faced this year, or really a lot of quarterbacks. And, you know, we could say Jalen Hurts hasn't been what he was last year. But if you made a list, and I did, Jalen Hurts the third best quarterback they faced this season? Second? Somewhere in there. It depends
on what you think. That they've dodged Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that helps.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, and Jalen Hurts in some order. And you wouldn't be crazy if you put Jalen Hurts first, even with the season that he's having, right?
Jalen Hurts, by the way, passer rating of 106. And I know that doesn't tell the entire story of how a quarterback plays, but he's playing the most efficient football of his career. So it would just stand to reason that with the talent and with him and with the health and with him playing sound football, that it's really just a matter of time before things get going here. And so many teams around the league, if you're struggling offensively, you're looking at facing the Bears as a chance to get right, because the Bears have struggled defensively no matter who's been on the field. And you just don't know for certain, let's just say they get Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon and TJ Edwards back. It's their first game for those guys, for those guys in a long time. Depending on which guy we're talking about, it's been a really long time. You don't know how they're going to be their first game back. I don't think very many players come back from significant injuries and are just right back to themselves their first game back.
Yeah. And if you're the Bears, you have to wonder too, if you do play those guys, are those guys on a pitch count, especially at corner? They actually have the depth maybe to be able to do that a little bit. And I think you need to think big picture here, Jason. We agreed that they need to go 3-3 to absolutely be sure of a playoff spot, but probably 2-4.
They got to find at least two wins. We know that.
Yeah. And one of them will probably be at home against the Browns and Shedeur Sanders. So we're making a lot of assumptions, or I'm making a lot of assumptions, but let's say they got to find one. I think in Philadelphia is probably the last place they're going to find it. And you hate to say it. I mean, Lambeau Field's the following week, and that, you know, might be just as tough, but you know, you can't screw up the next 6 weeks because you want to play guys on Black Friday. And I think that will be important to consider when the Bears weigh whether or not to bring Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon back, is if it's anything that could cost you one of those legitimate chances down the road at winning and getting in the playoffs, I think they need to stay away from it.
They don't seem to have allowed guys to take risks with their injury situations this year. And Jalen Johnson, let's with him specifically, I mean, you saw this going into the opener where he was feeling pretty good, but he wasn't feeling all the way good. So he wasn't going to chance it. I think he's at a point in his career where he's got enough perspective to see that that isn't worth it. And he'd be right, just like you're saying. By the way, since you brought this up, you're looking at 6 games left. You got to find 2 wins at least. You're saying home against the Browns, which, by the way, that will be tougher than it sounds, because the Browns are actually very good defensively. I also think the Bears will win that game. What is it, about a month away?
Yeah. And the Browns are also built. They're built to play cold weather football the same way I think the Bears want to be built that way. So you're right. It's not going to be 42.
I don't think it'll be a pushover at all, but I do think they'll win that one. I would have to say that the second win is going to be at San Francisco, because they look really shaky. But finding a third after that is so hard. I mean, you'd have to count on them beating Green Bay in a game that matters to both teams, which they haven't done in years. How do you size this up? Where would you see the second win and any additional wins?
As you know, I am very firmly in the camp of winning on the road is very hard to do. Maybe the Packers at home, I think, would be a more logical place to win a game than the 49ers. I mean, we all have recency bias, you know, in our heads right now, because what the Niners did on Monday Night Football was just atrocious. And what their quarterback did, I mean, Brock Purdy just threw three interceptions in the first half, was lucky it wasn't five. And, you know, a Bears defense that has, you know, that leads the league in interceptions, I think could feast on that version of him. But you have to presume he's either going to be playing better by that point or be replaced by that point. I think a full Soldier Field at home with Ben Johnson having a chance to beat the Bears rival, I think might be the place I would look for win number two there. And beyond that, I mean, Detroit in the last week of the season at home, we don't know what Detroit's going to be playing for. If the season were to end right now, Detroit would be what, out of the playoffs? Is that
out,
right, Jason?
Yeah, out. So certainly looks like they would need the game.
Yeah, there was a time where I thought that Detroit would be resting all their starters to get ready to be the two seed in the playoffs. But, you know, maybe that's still the case where, you know, if they rally, maybe they don't have anything to play for or have less to play for than the Bears do. But, yeah, I think I'd probably go to the Packers.
I think some of what you're saying is instructive when you talk about the Eagles, where Detroit is in this lull right now where I think they are 7-4, 6-5. What are they?
Yes, 6-5, I believe.
So Detroit's in this lull. Green Bay, everything you hear out of Green Bay is, it must be a disaster up there. And then you look at the standings and the numbers, and it's not nearly as bad as it sounds.
I'm sorry, they're 7-4, Jason, and the Packers are 7-3-1, and the Bears are
8. What a crisis.
Well, it's like the Eagles. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying is I think the Eagles are in that same spot where, okay, so you just count out all these teams. You think Detroit's done? The simulators certainly don't. The simulators all have Detroit favored to jump into the playoff field and push the Bears out. I think Green Bay is still one of the top favorites by odds makers to win it all. Philly, as I said earlier, still is. So when these teams hit a little bit of a lull, or they hit a slump, or the offense isn't working, or the quarterback's struggling for a few weeks with any of these teams, but specifically now with the Eagles, I don't think you just throw that out. I don't think you just throw the team out and say, well, they'll probably just keep heading this way. The Eagles have a track record that tells you so much different than it tells you to think differently than that. The Eagles have been in these positions before. They have played in two Super Bowls in the last 3 years. They have the best record in the league from 2022 on. They have tons of talented players. And Nick Sirianni, I feel like Nick Sirianni was on the hot seat in his opening press conference when they hired him. And yet he's got the best record among the best winning percentage of any active coach. I would still bet, and he's got Vic Fangio. That's a heck of a pull for a defensive coordinator. I would bet on Philly getting right, and home against a struggling Bears defense has got to look like a good opportunity to them.
The Lions are plus 83 in point differential right now. The Packers are plus 61 in point differential. Jason, you want to take a stab at what the Bears are?
Got to be like plus 30 or 40, something like that, at 8-3.
Very good. No, absolutely not. They're minus 3 in point differential. And, you know, that's because the Lions put a whooping on them earlier in the year. But that's also because their margin of error, even though they're winning these games, just isn't as good. And
think of all their wins. Just pull some Bears wins out of your memory. And it's like, 1-3, 1-2, 1-1.
Yeah. I mean, the Bears are almost as close to the New Orleans Saints in terms of point differential as they are to the Detroit Lions. And that's, one man's learning how to win is another man's, you know, escape by the skin of their teeth. But I do think that the reason that the odds are stacked the way they are in favor of these other teams is because of valid statistical reasons. And not because of whatever magic the Bears are getting by on. What do you think Caleb Williams needs to do here? We've talked already at length about his inaccuracy the other day, some of the throws he usually makes, you know, some of these seam routes that he's really good at, some of the dagger routes, he was just sailing. And the Bears are really lucky that the Steelers flat out dropped a couple interceptions.
Joey Porter really Jr. dropped one right in his arms. Yeah.
Yeah. And really couldn't take advantage of his mistakes. This Eagles defense certainly has the skills to make the Bears pay.
Now, most of the defenses they face the rest of the way will, and most of the defenses they face the rest of the way can put enough pressure on Caleb Williams that he's going to have to not only be accurate, but he's going to have to be fast in making decisions because of the pass rush.
I think he has been. I think he has been quick. But I'll give him that. He's been
decisive. It'll get tougher.
Yeah.
Yeah. The throwing accuracy is number one. You asked what is the biggest issue, and then you gave the answer because I completely agree. I mean, it's mystifying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. It's hard to even see how he is. If you told me nothing else about Caleb Williams, I was not watching and I didn't know anything about his season other than his completion percentage, I would say, well, there's no way that's going well at all. There's no way. I mean, he's under 60% in seven of his last eight games, six of his last seven games.
I believe the Bears are 7-0 when he's under 60%.
Too. Yeah, it's alarming, and it seems impossible. It's like a riddle that you can't solve. Now, the answer is he contributes through rushing. He connects on a lot of big plays to make up for that. So he's getting two or three completions worth of yards on one throw, which will help drive that passer rating up eventually. That accuracy has got to be fixed. That would change everything. Imagine that Caleb Williams, instead of, let's not even say 70% like Ben Johnson's talking at the beginning of the season, let's say Caleb Williams is completing 65% of his passes or something like that. That would change a lot. I mean, you're talking about an extra, what, four completions a game or something like that? That'd be a big difference for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, even if he completes the two that we're thinking of, which is the play-action post route to Luther Burden that he threw over his head and then the in-breaker to Roma Dunze that landed in a safety's arms. If he completes those two, that's an extra 60 yards the other day, yeah, probably. And the Bears probably end up with more points. I think it'll be really interesting to see him, not only to see Caleb, but to see how Ben Johnson wants to attack this Eagles defense. And the challenge for both of them is that Vic Fangio, you know, we've heard Caleb talk about Brian Flores now four different times. Vic is a different sort of challenge, and Vic is trying to confuse him with coverage, not trying to put him on his butt with a blitzer. It's just trying to mask everything until the last possible second. That's a different sort of mental weariness that Caleb is going to have to deal with. And boy, that'll be really interesting. You know, there's a part of me that sits there and goes, the best way to not get tricked by Vic's coverage is to hand the ball off and, you know, and try and go from there. With Caleb, I really think this will be an interesting challenge for him.
If you make this a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie and Caleb Williams is your protagonist and he's got to go all around the galaxies fighting all these bad guys, is Vic Fangio Thanos? Is he like your top supervillain that you've got to face of all these? I mean, he's been through Flores, he's been through Tomlin, he's faced a lot of guys, but he's never faced Vic.
No, he's never faced Vic, and I think everybody around here knows what Vic can do, and that's not because Vic finally won a Super Bowl last year. It's because the last time the Bears were like this, quite frankly, it was because of Vic's or defensive expertise. It was because they had the best defense in football, and you could bank on that every week. This year's version of the Bears doesn't have that, but it does feel the same, doesn't it? That you know, the quarterback's, you know, still riding the roller coaster, but the team's emerging with a win, and all's well that ends well, and it's easier to coach after a win. These are all things that Matt Nagy's team said in 2018. And they won the division, made the playoffs, and then, you know, it ended the way it ended. I don't know whether he's the final boss for Caleb to beat, but he's a different kind of boss and someone who I think is really going to test him. DeAndre Swift averaged 2 yards a carry and put the ball on the ground last week. How are the Bears going to run the ball well this time around?
Well, they're going to need both guys. They're going to need him and Kyle Manungai. If you just look at this logically on paper, what is best for the Bears long term, it's probably for Kyle Manungai to develop into a starter or a 1A, 1B type situation like they had in Detroit. So you kind of you wonder if the if Ben Johnson will lean toward him and kind of will him into becoming the player that they need him to be for the long term. But I still think you need both. And I still think DeAndre Swift at his best, running the way we've seen him run in some games this season, that is a weapon. That is up there among the best weapons you have offensively, because he's also very dangerous as a wide receiver. It will take both. And I think that their better path is going to be relying on that rather than trying to win through the air. But if you fall behind, you can't, you don't really have that option anymore.
You wrote a nice story earlier this season about Swift growing up in Philadelphia and what Zaccheaus and DJ Moore all being buddies with him.
All they were DJ Moore and DeAndre Swift from the same neighborhood. I cannot remember the name of the neighborhood now off the top of my head. North Area, I want to say. Okay. And then Zaccheaus growing up just across the river in New Jersey, more of a compact area than people probably realize if they're not from the Northeast. All three of those guys, childhood friends, yes.
Yeah, it must be a fun game for all of them to be able to go do that. Not just considering what's at stake, but being able to go home and maybe even see some family on the holiday. Jason, let's get into our picks real quick. You've got the Eagles 27-22. I've got them 30-21. I think we're both thinking the same way, which is, and you mentioned this earlier, the Eagles might be reeling, but that might make this maybe a tough spot for the Bears.
Yeah, and but I also don't see the Bears. It's hard to picture them getting blown out. I think they are so well coached right now, not only during the week, but during games by Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson is... It's some of it's not even really that genius. Some of it is just very practical. It's just practically looking at what's going on and saying, all right, we're in trouble. We need to try to run clock on offense. We need long, sustained drive. It's very simple. It's not easy, but it's very simple and sound, his approach to it. So it's hard to see them getting blown out, but I don't see them winning this game. One of the things I like, though, about the way this schedule has set up, And you were kind of mentioning this earlier when you were talking about their playoff chances. The Bears have beaten a lot of bad teams. And I think Pittsburgh's the best team they've beaten, right? I think Pittsburgh might be the only team they've beaten that has a winning record. Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
They would tell you, the Bears would tell you, well, that's irrelevant. We are playing good football. It will translate against anybody if we play our best. The schedule sets up in a way that you get a chance to prove that. You have the chance right now, two-thirds of the way through your season, to prove that you really are ready to play your best football going into December, as Ben Johnson has said many times this year. And not only do you play a bunch of good teams, you play a bunch of teams that you're sparring with for spots right now. You get to play Green Bay twice. You get to play the Lions twice, the 49ers. I don't think Philly is going to sink down into fighting for a wild card spot, but you get the chance. Everyone objectively is looking at this and saying, this looks like now when it gets a little tougher opponent-wise, it's probably going to come apart at least a little. The Bears have the chance right in front of them to prove everybody wrong. It's sitting right there. So if everybody is wrong about that, show us. You get the chance right now. I think that's great TV.
Yeah, I think it's great TV, and I think the world thinks it's great TV because you've got the Bears on Black Friday. You've got the Packer game at Lambeau moved into the afternoon window so most of America can see that on regular TV. You've got the 49ers game being played at night, and then you've got the second Packer game. That's on a Saturday, and that will probably end up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. So a lot of Bears on everybody's TV. Starting on Friday, and it is worth pointing out, if you are not one of the people who has Amazon Prime and live in the Chicago area, you get it on Fox as well. So no need to go buy the streamer unless you really, really want to get into some Amazon shows, which, not a terrible decision. Jason, we will talk about all of this after the Eagles game. Until then, people can follow you and I on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website. They have a really good app for your phone. And if you live in town, buy a paper. He is Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.